Hello and a very warm welcome to Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated design show. I'm Henry Rhys Sheridan. This week, we peer closely at an industry where looks mean everything and talk fashion at the 90th instalment of the menswear trade show Pitti Uomo.
If you want to stay in the menswear business and understand in which direction the season is going, you cannot miss Pitti Immagine Uomo.
Raffaello Napoleoni there, the CEO of Pitti Immagine. More from him later. Monocle's fashion director Daphne Hezzard and reporters Chiara Ramilla and Jamie Waters were in Florence for the fair and bring us this report.
Last week, Pitti Immagine Uomo celebrated its 90th edition. It's a momentous number and a good occasion to reflect on where the industry is heading, especially at a time when menswear and the fashion industry at large is undergoing such drastic changes. Some houses are proposing a see now, buy now model, where collections are available to buy immediately after runway shows rather than waiting the usual 6 months. The calendar has shifted as some designers take to staging elaborate catwalk shows in locations outside the regular fashion weeks in Paris and Milan. Even the status of men's only fashion weeks is being challenged as brands ditch events to stage mixed gender shows during their women's wear equivalents. The sizzling lineup of guest designers this season proved them right, with former Dior creative director Raf Simons and Russian streetwear star Gosha Rybchinsky staging explosive shows in an old train station and dilapidated tobacco factory, respectively. Yet beyond these peripheral shows, it is within the Fortezza d'Abasso, an imposing 16th century fortress, that most action still takes place. Its vast pebble courtyard is a stomping ground for peacocks, men dressed to impress in brightly coloured linen suits and wide-brimmed fedoras, posing and pouting for an army of eager photographers. Inside the Fortezza's halls, 1,222 brands, about half of them Italian, showcase their wares. Threads on display run the gamut from sportswear to formal tailoring, but this season saw an abundance of technical pieces, informal deconstructed tailoring, Korean collars, and seersucker, a light cotton with a vintage, waffled look. One brand with a unique tale to tell is Drumore. After 4 years away from the fair, the Scottish-born, but now Italian-owned, knitwear label has made a return. Monocle's fashion director, Daphne Hezzard, paid a visit to their stand, occupying prime real estate overlooking the main square, and spoke to CEO Michele Ciocca about why it's good and very important to be back.
3 years ago, we started a new relaunch of a brand. We actually wanted to come back once we actually find a very nice place to show the new collection. So basically, we were waiting for the right place to be in the Pitti.
And what are the good reasons to come here? What do you find more in Pitti that you can't find in any other trade shows?
I think for menswear is the best trade show to get in contact with customer, especially for foreign customer. We are very well distributed in Italy and Japan, but we now would like to expand worldwide. So I think it's the best men's show to be here in our niche market.
You are now an Italian brand, but that was not always the case. Can you come back on the history of Drumore?
Drumore basically is one of the oldest knitwear brand existing in the world because it was founded in 1770 in Dumfries, Scotland. We took over it in 2006. Unfortunately, the company in Dumfries closed late 19s, so we were not able to actually buy all the factory. But the first period since we bought the brand, we tried to replicate as much as we could the technique used in Scotland for the knitting, for the mining of a knitwear, because what we are trying to do is to keep the product as much as we can as used to be done in the past. On the same side, since we're Italian, we try to give it a little bit more of twist in the design, in the shaping, so trying to actualize the history and the roots of a brand.
Okay, when you say you bought the brand, it's a family affair. You're talking about your father, of course, and also you're working close to your brother. Can you tell us about this family affair? How do you work all together?
I am the fourth generation of a family business. Our main company was founded in 1912, and we do socks, men's socks, and also knitwear. In 2006, when we bought this brand, my father asked me and my brother to come back because we were outside the family business, and he gave us this task to try to relaunch this brand. Drumor is, of course, well known for the knitwear, cashmere knitwear, and we still buy all the raw material from Scotland and England. And as I said before, we do all the transformation here in Italy in our factory now. What we put a lot of emphasis in our collection is on design and colors. We try to create an sophisticated after sport knitwear, relaxed and very comfortable. And this is the way we actually try to develop our collections.
Okay, tell us a bit about this specific collection. It's been inspired by a film.
Inspiration comes from the talent of Mr. Ripley, which is the history of this American person coming to Italy in Capri and then Florence and traveling around Italy. And my brother really liked the landscape and the reaction of this person living in these very beautiful places. So he actually took some design of a typical ceramic. We actually print both style on the shirt and the trouser, and this is the fil rouge of the whole collection.
Pitti is still one of the first chances to see the new season's wares, and this edition saw 20,500 buyers from more than 100 countries descend on Florence. By day, they flock to the fairgrounds before heading to the glitzy Gilly Bar in the center of town to make deals over Aperol spritzes. Of course, there were plenty of Italian buyers, but the Germans, Brits, Chinese, South Koreans and Australians also put in strong performances, with the only notable absence being the French, due to airstrikes and Paris's current hosting of the Euro Football Cup. One particularly prominent buyer in town was Bruce Pasque. As the men's fashion director at Bergdorf Goodman in New York, he's tasked with scoping out the season's best finds and uncovering younger brands to watch. He spoke to Jamie Waters about how men are becoming more open-minded with their threads and about which consumers he has in mind when visiting Pitti Uomo.
We're in a unique place because, you know, we're one store right in the heart of New York City, so we have a very large, affluent, very discerning customer that lives in New York City. We also have a big clientele that is a visitor because New York City obviously is a destination for many people. So we have quite a variety of customers, so we really speak to different kinds of guys. Our Pitti Uomo guy is, you know, certainly interested in the best quality, luxury materials. There's an element of the traditional here that I think our consumer appreciates, but I think by far they just want great things and things that they can't find other places, and that's our job and our business is to seek them out and help make those for them. There's a real groundedness here. It's certainly global manufacturing communities and manufacturing companies here, but there's a strong emphasis obviously on Italian production. So I think you're looking at a real luxury market here, companies that have been around for years perfecting what they do, you know, like the best glove makers, the best leather goods makers, cashmere manufacturers. So I think we're talking about a level of luxury that I think a really discerning customer, certainly ours, grows to appreciate. But then that's also very different than, you know, our customer who's looking for the latest from Dries Van Noten or Balmain or Givenchy. I mean, I think we have a very broad range of customer, and it's what's so exciting about the store is we can speak to all of those men, but Pitti Uomo is a very particular luxury demographic that we kind of are working with here.
There's obviously a lot of really exciting Italian brands here, but aside from those, are there any countries where you think there's a really strong fashion scene happening at the moment that you've kind of got your eye on?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, I think certainly here, again, there's like global manufacturers, global designers here, but I think when you're in Florence, I think there's a huge attention paid to kind of made in Italy. Made in Italy means a lot to our consumer, our shopper, so, you know, it's of primary importance. But, you know, we've just arrived from London Collections Men, and I think London is having an amazing time for menswear. You know, it's obviously traditionally a great menswear capital, but I think you're seeing young talent there as much streetwear-based as well as, you know, new takes on tradition, like Tom Sweeney, you know, which I'm really excited about. Also in America, I mean, I think, you know, we sort of invented modern sportswear, and I think Los Angeles is having a design renaissance with companies like Fear of God, whose designer was here last night at one of the shows, and John Elliott, and there's always kind of these areas of creativity bubbling up and creating new interest and intrigue and think it's an exciting time for menswear, for sure.
Attendance figures at the fair, which were up 3% this season, are crucial to spotting the hungriest new fashion nations. What's more, as one of the first events on the calendar, the clothes showcased here offer an early glimpse into the trends likely to shape the season to come. Petit Imagine CEO Raffaello Napoleone is the man responsible for organizing it all, and Jamie Waters was eager to hear his take on Spring-Summer 2017.
It has been really very positive. From a figures point of view, from the very beginning, it's the edition, the 90th edition, that means 45 years of history, with the highest number of exhibitors. Yesterday, that was a Thursday evening, we have had and recorded 4% more buyers, visitors, adding Italians and international. But what is very important is the mood all around the fortress. It was very, very energetic and sparkling. The people, also if the market is not easy these days, the real economy, in fact, is looking for a reaction, and the exhibitors are doing a marvelous work, a lot of research, lot of new things, fantastic accessories. And if you want to stay in the menswear business and understand which direction the season is going, you cannot miss Petit Imagine Uomo.
So men are obviously becoming more interested in clothes. Do you think men are dressing very differently now from a few years ago? What have you noticed in the, you know, even from seeing around Petit, is it changing a lot?
Of course, yes. Everybody remember that a few years ago, to go, to the bank like employee, it was necessary to be dressed in grey, with black shoes with stripes, and it was like a uniform. Today you can go to the office dress in a very informal way, and it's accepted. I heard that some big American bank now is asking to the employees not to be so formal. They try to be much more young and with sneakers and jeans and t-shirts, because they want, of course, to attract the millennials, and so they need also to have on the other side of the window the kind of people that can deal easily with the generation. The millennials' influence, they are 2 billion and 200 million. New consumer on the market are also changing a lot the way you afford business, generally speaking.
What's the sort of upshot of that? Does that make it difficult, for instance, for like tailoring brands that are more formal? Or
absolutely not. It's the way you tailor your, you cut, you choose the fabrics that is changing. In my opinion, tailoring is coming back. Of course, it's a different kind of tailoring. It's much more modern and light and deconstructed. If I look, for example, to at least here in Italy or in Europe, the young singers, they are quite formal when they present them. They are not so badly, brackets, dressed like it used to be. They try to be elegant. We have this young Volo, three tenors that won the Sanremo Festival in Italy. They're now having big success. They're working with Carreras. They're dressed in a formal way, modern, contemporary, formal way.
Some of the lineup this year of your special designers was really incredible. Mm-hmm. Gosha Rubczynski, and he sort of does that with that really modern tailoring and mixes that with streetwear. And then obviously Raf Simons, the show last night was incredible. But how do you decide which designers to invite? What's the sort of thinking behind this? Who are you looking for?
Like always, when you live in a creative environment, due to the travels we do, the fashion weeks we follow, the things we read, and the Instagram influence we have, we try to find out what is really, in our opinion, the hottest thing to show. And in this case, being the 90th anniversary, we thought that having this kind of mix, that means something very young, something like Raf, extraordinary with all his history of creativity, or of course Visvim with the sweetness of what he has done yesterday. It was really magical. And also Puglisi, that is a young Italian talent, and mixing all this Mapino was the right thing to do. So we covered different kind of areas of the creativity. This is what we try always to do. So young, well established, and then some cultural event. Not to move fashion shows from one town to the other, just to set up a well-conceived program with something that cannot be missed.
I also wanted to ask you about this idea of see now, buy now, where a lot of designers are saying, for instance, Burberry and Tom Ford, and they're saying that they're going to show items on the catwalk and it'll go straight to consumers. Does this sort of movement have an impact on a trade show like PT?
Not at all for the moment. We are following this idea very closely. In my opinion, it's very risky because there is always, it has been for centuries, the fascination of have and the aspiration to have something that you have to wait to receive. Think about the automobile industry. Also the fashion industry, for example, for bags, very well known, like the Kelly bag. I'm sure that for a man to produce more Kelly bags would be not so difficult. But in fact, if you want a specific kind of Kelly bag, you have to wait 6 months or more. And the fashion needs also season after season to have this kind of... You can do, and it's not something new. It's years that you have the opportunity to have very quick the product delivered. It's much more a marketing approach, communication approach. For sure, the e-commerce influence on the business is pushing companies to think what to do. But in my opinion, it's just another option to sell.
And my final question is about the difference between staging a spring-summer trade show and an autumn-winter trade show. I was talking to a buyer yesterday and they said that autumn-winter tends to be much more meaty in terms of more luxurious kind of fabrics and everything. Yeah. What is the sort of...
I tell you something that is very easy to understand. Usually, and this is the track record of PT One, but it's the same for the other main appointments in men, women and other industry, in summer, we have around 20,000 buyers, real buyers. And in winter, we have more than 25,000 buyers. For sure, the turnover, and it's very easy to understand, with the summer collection is much lower than in the winter collection because we have less pieces to wear. And so it's much bigger, the turnover you produce in winter than in summer. And this is why sometimes, always, this is this difference. Of course, we follow with the same kind of energy, summer and winter. But from an attendance point of view, from a turnover point of view, I'm thinking to the exhibitor and to the manufacturer, this is a deep difference.
With most of its exhibitors recording an annual turnover of fewer than 5 million euros, PITI is a trade show that nurtures small brands. In search of discoveries, buyers flock to pavilions such as L'Altro Uomo, with its rows of sleek casual wear, or the craft-led make section, filled with hand-dyed garments and stands peddling beautiful leather goods. Monocle paced these pavilions looking for a few brands on the rise. First up is swimwear brand Coast Society. Co-founder and creative director Davide Gais talked us through his design and architecture-inspired collection.
Coast Society brand was born in 2014 with the wish to create a new brand of high luxury beachwear for men. My grandparents used to go for holidays on the Italian Riviera with my parents. I used to go to the French Riviera. So I really got those two, I don't know, styles in my blood, and I love the atmosphere, the environment. They're quite different, I have to say, because if we talk about Portofino, this is we talk more about its timeless elegance, about light colors, about classical men's style. Whether if we talk about French Riviera, colors are more vivid and bold. So yeah, two different atmospheres that I wanted to mix in one. Coast Society comes also from the will to do something where I could put together all of my passions. And art, architectures, and designs are some of my great passions. So I take inspiration from the past design, from modern art, from contemporary art, but also, yeah, from I have patterns that I have invented thanks to a building or some architecture. There are two architectural waves and design as well that I really love, and those are Art Deco and Bauhaus architectures. So this is something I try to put those waves into every collection. Specifically, this is a print that I found in some Bauhaus art prints that I discovered in Tel Aviv. For us, the importance is mainly to be 100% made in Italy brand. So everything is from the fabrics to all the details that compose our products until production, everything is made in Italy in small laboratories, because we want to keep this craftsmanship dimension in the brand.
Swimming trunks and t-shirts shine in a spring-summer fair. But what about the brands that are based around warm winter garments? Forced to cater for the seasonal, these labels must adapt, so they look at home in a summer show where this year the thermometer topped 30 degrees and the skies were cloudless. We speak to T. Michael and Alexander Helle from Norwegian Rain, a Bergen-born brand that, as its name suggests, isn't normally summer-oriented.
The beautiful thing is, it rains everywhere. And it rains when it's summer, it rains when it's winter, and it rains when it's 32 degrees, and it rains. It's not a bleak picture, it's realistic. So what we do is we take our core ethos and we try and adapt it to different seasons and different temperatures.
It's basically raincoats that doesn't look like a raincoat. And now we're expanding into shoes and bags, same ethos, looking stylish, versatile for our life in a city. But always, it does its job if you really need something extra than just looking stylish. We are from the rainiest city of Europe, the gateway to the fjords, and yeah, it rains. So we simply need something that also works. We don't like to wear functional clothing every day. So there you have kind of our whole design ethos.
However, this season, our collection is based on bike to work, cycling. So people will be biking when it's summertime, and we've basically created jackets that are airy, to breathe, with slits that ventilate, sleeves that give you extra length. Basically anything you need to be able to cycle on a hot, steamy day. When you lean over your bike, the sleeves shorten, it gets tighter on the biceps, on your back, and we had to solve all those details out. Every time you're about to reach for something, it has to be quick reach, because you're cycling, you can't keep your hands off the handlebar for a longer period of time. So all these little things that came up that we felt was an issue, we went back to the drawing board and actually tried it all out. And I'm confident to say that we do have a bike and jacket that actually works. I think it's looking good as well.
Basically, when you look at it, it's a stylish coat. But if you look on all the details, it's a lot of high-tech and functional details hidden there. We've gone all the way in making some of the most extreme functional biking jackets there is, but at the same time, it will fit over a suit jacket. And to add to that, we have quite good connections with the weather god. So if you wait probably 1.5 hour, it will pour down. And then who's laughing?
The hordes of buyers careering down the halls mean that Pitti holds the promise of springboarding new labels into the public eye. Wayne Sorensen used to be the design director at popular swimshort company Oliver Brown. But this season, he's sitting just a few halls away from his former employer, manning the stand of his one-month-old menswear brand Sorensen. He talks to us about the unique thinking behind his colourful collection of shirts, sweaters and trousers.
I'm originally from New Zealand, of Danish ancestry, lived in London for the last 16 years. My most previous role was at Ola Bar Brown, where I was design director for 5 years, and prior to that at Burberry. Sorensen's started being developed in summer last year, and we launched last month with issue one. I looked for a framework to put around the brand. With that in mind, I identified an initial 6 archetypes: the driver, engineer, painter, dancer, butcher, and officer. So every piece within the collection is inspired by one of those archetypes and named after So you have the driver shirt, the painter trouser, the dancer t-shirt, for example.
Can we talk about a few of them? I know a couple of my favorites are the Butcher, which is this sort of like really long, oversized indigo with like really strong stitching. And I also love the painter shirt, which is also super long and just kind of like very whimsical and yeah. flowing. And can you talk us through a couple of your favorites?
Yes, absolutely. In developing each of the pieces, so it was just, there was a sort of a lovely sort of gestation period of research. And one of the pieces, which I guess sort of helped define which of the archetypes we launched with. You know, I found this beautiful piece from 1890s, an apron worn by a French abattoir and sort of beautiful cotton linen and indigo dye. And so that sort of really just helped inform sort of a reimagining of the Butcher shirt, but bringing it into a modern sensibility.
So how did you change that really kind of old school historic piece? What did you do to it to make it more sort of modern?
For me, it was sort of addressing the proportions and bringing it into a more sort of caution using the word modern, but just a more appropriate sensibility for everyday wear.
When you say the proportions, baggier, longer,
actually the other way around. Okay. Yeah. So we've still ended up with an intentionally oversized garment, but the original reference was quite knocking dangerously on flowing.
I'm also interested in where you manufacture your pieces. You're based in Portugal, from what I understand, but you've actually done what I can't imagine many designers have this commitment. You've actually moved from London to Portugal. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, I actually divide my time between, I have a home in Portugal and a flat in London, where I sort of divide my time, and I love spending time out in Portugal. I love being hands-on. I love working with the factories that I've had long-standing working relationships with for in the north of Portugal. For me, because I design with construction very much in mind, it's trying things, it's looking at the machinery, it's sort of pushing the boundaries rather than just sort of conceptualizing something two-dimensionally and then firing it off on an email. You're actually there, you're trying things, you're seeing sense of inspiration all around you at every point in the day, everything from the dye houses to seeing the jersey being spun at the knitters, and then of course to the actual manufacturing of the garments in line.
The first class offerings meant that not even the traditionally slower spring-summer season or European airstrikes could dampen the buoyant mood. In the fast-paced, ever-changing menswear world, this innovative 44-year-old industry staple is proving it can still lead the way. For Monocle in Florence, I am Chiara Rimella.
That was Chiara Rimella, Daphne Hazard and Jamie Waters reporting from Pitti Uomo 90 in Florence. That's it for this week's show. My thanks to our editor, Alex Funnell, and of course to our contingent on the ground in Florence as well. If you have any comments or queries, then feel free to drop me a line. I'm at hrs@monocle.com. And remember, we're back next week at the same time. You can always listen again or dip into our back catalogue at monocle.com, SoundCloud and iTunes. And please leave us a review on the latter. You've been listening to Section D on Monocle 24. I'm Henry Rhys Sheridan. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.